May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
So here's a slogan from that I've heard on TV and I've heard on the radio and I've seen online. It says, connect with your people today. Does anyone want to guess which company that slogan belongs to? Connect with your people today.
Kind of internet?
It is for Ancestry.com. Connect with your people today. And Ancestry.com, they claim, and I'm sure they are, the largest consumer DNA database in the world. And this database has no doubt ballooned with the advent of companies such as 23andMe, where with just the swab of your cheek, you can mail that sample in, and you can have your genetic and historical and ancestral identity confirmed or denied. For every adoptee that has found joy in connecting with members of his or her birth family, for every person who has finally been able to find peace and closure in the face of old family secrets, there are those who have learned that they are not who they thought they were based on some misinformation. There are still more who learn harrowing facts about their past or the past of their loved ones through these Ancestry and 23andMe tests. There are, and I don't know if you've seen these stories in the New Yorker or the New York Times about babies who were switched at birth, puzzling paternity. I could go on and on, but my point is that in our increasingly complex and interconnected world, we are relying less and less on the stuff of folklore and fable and family story to tell us who exactly we are. And instead, I think we're beginning to see ourselves as people whose creed or clan is multifaceted and subject to change as new technologies uncover new truths about who we are. To some people, these advancements in technology are powerful and liberating even, but some find themselves sinking in what I would call the quicksand of identity, unsure of how to define themselves, unsure of who or what to latch onto as they uncover new information about their history. So here is the problem. We have, each of us, unique identities, and these unique identities are fundamental to how we live, move, and have our being. And yet, our identities are fleeting. Yes, even the aspects of our identities that feel so hard won, these aspects of our identity fail to encompass the fullness of who we are as God's children. This is in no way to suggest that identity is not important. It really and truly is, but it is to say that our identity as beloved children of God matters more than anything we can learn about ourselves from a cheek swab or that we can check off in a demographic box on some bureaucratic form. There's a saying that I've heard that I really appreciate, and it says, I know who I am because I know whose I am. Our identity in Christ is not fleeting. And rather, it opens the door to us for eternal life. And as we heard in the gospel from John, we belong to him and he to us. And then it's this great feedback loop of love and grace and belonging that we get to be a part of. Jesus, as our good shepherd, encourages us to see that even though there are all these demands on our identities, there's something very powerful when we define ourselves not by the past, not even by the present moment, but by the possibility of who we are and who we can be in Christ. In this resurrection season, we see and appreciate that there are always opportunities to live life anew. There are always opportunities to imagine who we can be as we live into the full stature of Christ. Instead of being pigeonholed by factors beyond our control, we can allow ourselves to flourish by following in the way of Jesus Christ, the one who brings life into the world. So I'm a fan of personality tests, the Enneagram, the Myers-Briggs, all of these things. But I know, that on this Good Shepherd Sunday, we are reminded that before we fit into a category or can type ourselves into a subtype of the Enneagram, before we can trace our family back umpteen generations, we were known and are known to Jesus before and beyond any of those things. And what's more, Jesus's knowledge of us is not cursory. It's deep. It's genuine. He knows us by name. He delights in our existence. He beams at our very being. And what's more, he seeks to keep us safe, like that good shepherd, from anything in the world that might degrade us, that might demean who we are. We should always seek to know ourselves in deeper ways. We should always seek to change and grow in light of our identity in Christ. In dying to the aspects of self that keep us feeling separate, me against the world, me against you, in dying to those things, that is how we find the kind of life that lasts. So again, I'm returning to that slogan from Ancestry.com, connect with your people today. The text from this morning about the Good Shepherd can easily be read as a metaphor for our personal relationship with Christ. But I think it also speaks to our community and to our identity in Christ as a group, as a people. Talks actually more about the flock than it does about the individual sheep. Lest we think Jesus lays down his life for people just like me, with my identity, who look and think and act and vote like me. No. Jesus lays down his life for all. And as he does this, he reminds us of our unity. He reminds us of the common bonds of our humanity. Jesus came so that I could have abundant life, and he desires that abundant life for my neighbor as well, for my friend, for my family member, for my estranged family member, for the cranky clerk at the post office, and my so-called political enemy. He desires abundant life for all. So like it or not, we are one family and one flock. And when Jesus said, I know my own and my own know me, I don't think he was dividing the world into Christians and non-believers. Rather, I think he was saying that all people, all people are known, beloved, and worthy of belonging. But I think it is our job here and now to dissolve some of those lies that keep us separate from one another. The lie that would tell us that our stories of who we are predetermined. The lies that convince us that our lives are either of little value or are more valuable than the lives of our neighbors. There's an author called Steve Garnes Holmes, and he writes about today's lesson, and he says, Christ is not the partisan figurehead of religion. Christ is the infinite embodied grace of God, the shepherd of all creation, who leads rivers to the sea and winter into spring, and who leads all of us into life. And he goes on to say, little one, we are in a small corner, yet even the far galaxies, the trillions of stars and their planets are also under the calm eye of the shepherd and follow under the shepherd's voice. So beyond the stories we tell ourselves, beyond the fable and the folklore, this is the fact. We belong to the Good Shepherd, and he to us. All creation is his. And for that fact, let us praise God, in whose grace we live and move and have our being. Amen.